This room too.
I'm sorry?
You're spending as much time in this room as Julie and I are.
Let's get started. I call the House Labor and Commerce Committee to order. The time is 3:15, February 14th. Members present are Representatives Sadler, Cologne, Burke, Fields, Hall, and Carrick. We have a quorum. Please silence your cell phones. If you need to pass a note, Committee Aide Evan Anderson is right there to help. Our first order of business today is House Bill 34. This is the second hearing on this legislation by Representative Holland to establish the Alaska Innovation Council. On Monday, we heard the bill for the first time, and today we will have public testimony. Before going to public testimony, we're going to start with invited testimony. So thank you to John Bittner for being here to offer invited testimony. I think over the phone. So, Mr. Bittner, if you can hear me, please go ahead and proceed with your testimony.
Through the chair, thank you. My name is John Bittner. I'm with the Alaska Small Business Development Center. I'm based out of Anchorage. We have offices in eight different communities around the state. We've been in operation for over 30 years, and our sort of goal is to help start and support small businesses anywhere in Alaska. Thank you so much for giving me a chance to talk. I was asked to sort of start off with a little bit of sort of who we are, what we do, and then talk a little bit about the importances of small business to Alaska's economy. First and foremost, I wanted to mention that basically 99% of all the businesses in the state qualify as small business under the under the definition used by the Small Business Administration, which is helps to fund our organization. We provide a variety of services to support those businesses, both through individual advising, workshops, and training. We run both the State of Alaska State Small Business Credit Initiative Program and the Tribal Consortium State Small Business Credit Initiative Program to facilitate investments in small businesses statewide, as well as various technology, buy local, buy Alaska programs. We feel that, you know, the importance of small businesses on Alaska's economy really can't be understated. It's a major driver of new job creation. It's a major driver of existing workforce. It really helps to diversify our economy, and the sectors that small businesses have pulled our economy into over the years have really expanded since I was, growing up in Anchorage. Giving us a much more sort of stable and robust economy. Finding ways to support that innovation, support that economic growth is extremely important, and we really approve of any efforts on that front to try and focus attention of policymakers and others on how to better support the businesses in our communities that are sort of the lifeblood of our various economies. So I think at that point, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have on small businesses or their economic impact or any other issues that may come up.
Thanks, Mr. Bittner. Do committee members have questions? Okay. Not seeing any at this time, I'm going to open public testimony on House Bill 34. We have several people online. First up is Taylor Holhauser, and Mr. and Mrs. Holzhauser, please proceed with your testimony. Taylor Holzhauser, are you able to hear us? You can proceed with your testimony if you are.
Oh, thank you. Yes, thank you.
Go ahead. We can hear you. I think let's go to the next testifier, and we'll circle back for Mr. Holzhauser. Norris Kruger, if you are online, please proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Norris Kruger, Boise, Idaho. One of my favorite old Yogi Berra sayings is, you can hear a lot by listening. And one of the biggest complaints we hear from innovators, whether they be lab scientists or small business owners, is that they hardly ever listen and we almost never hear what they're saying. And Bill HB 34 is a huge positive step in that direction. There's an edge, in fact, I think Alaska could be better at doing what HB 34 is proposing than most places, and I will get to that in a second. My credentials that I signed on, as I'm on the Leadership Council of a national group helping build entrepreneurial ecosystems, the EBLN. I'm a leading entrepreneurship and innovation educator, a top 2% scholar. I work a lot on stuff here in Idaho as well. And a three-time tech entrepreneur, where I probably learned more than all the others ahead of that. And maybe most importantly, 20 years ago, I was involved in Idaho's effort to do an innovation plan like this. We called it, Idaho State Innovation and Entrepreneurship Strategy, named beside my committee. And if executed well, I'm here to tell you that this is a quick, cheap, powerful way to help guide policy and to give a voice to all of the innovators in your state. That an opportunity to not just listen, but to hear what they're saying. Again, if it's done well. I've run this by legislators here in Idaho and elsewhere. There's a guy, a leader in the OECD in Europe, who thinks this is envious of this bill. But ultimately, a couple things I want to share. The Idaho example this is something that was funded by Battelle and the DOE lab here, Idaho National Lab. So we got paid. You should be able to find sponsors to pay for that. And it was a messy, arduous process in many ways, but absolutely brilliant in terms of the things that we learned, whether we're in the private sector, at the universities, or in government. Canada had the opposite experience. They decided they would have a national innovation policy. They put a diverse group would create a rough draft, and then put it out online, including LinkedIn, as a Google Doc for us to make comments. And then they attacked every comment that wasn't 100% in agreement. And it turned out pretty disastrously at many levels. Talk about not listening. And I don't, Representative Pollins, who invited me here, thank you, Representative Pollins, that this is something, this kind of policy is something I personally championed in many areas based on my Idaho example. And this is a huge opportunity for a very small amount of money to make a real difference for the people out there in the trenches. Again, whether they're a startup founder, a small business owner, they're a lab scientist, this is a chance to do a lot of good in a short period of time. I'm here to also say that through Representative Holland, there are a lot of people like me who would love to help you, because this is doing the right things the right way for the right reasons. Thank you for listening, and thank you for hearing. And thank you, Representative Holland.
Okay.
And stand for any questions.
Thanks, Mr. Krueger. You have a question, Representative Sadler?
I do, through the chair. Mr. Krueger, I had a little difficulty hearing you when you were explaining your credentials. You're in Idaho. Could you please slowly kind of recite your credentials and your involvement in this general issue, please?
Could you repeat that? Your mic is cutting out, or my phone is cutting out.
Certainly, I'll speak directly. Sir, when you were speaking originally, letting us know your credentials, I could not understand you clearly. Could you please recite your credentials and your involvement? You're in Idaho with a council of some sort. Just kind of clearly let us know from what.
That I was sort of rushed through them because I want to be mindful of your time, and I feel sometimes rather pretentious. I've lived a long time, so I piled a few of those up. I have a research PhD in entrepreneurship. I'm an expert on growing entrepreneurs. I'm a decorated entrepreneurship educator. I get to work with people, experts at the UN, EU, EU and OECD, who are really starting to get a clue about all of this. My main credential, I'm on a leadership council of this national organization of ecosystem builders, the Ecosystem Builder Leadership Network. I did not invent that name. And I am working, I've been 20 plus years here in Idaho, and I've been constantly working on helping to grow the ecosystem, ranging from mentoring startups to talking about important policy issues. I have just recently filed a major policy brief to the both houses and both parties of Congress, and they all seem to like it, which I don't know if that I should be delighted or worried, but there's a huge consensus out there what actually works. The scholars, the educators, the bureaucrats, the entrepreneurs themselves, they're agreeing on what works. What are the kind of things that works and are no-brainers? And this bill is presented is a no-brainer best policy. Not many people have done it because they don't have the guts to actually listen and hear what people in the trenches are saying. Okay. Am I answering your question at all?
Through the chair, yes, you are. I appreciate the clear definition of your credentials. And I guess I'll ask you a question. We heard earlier from Mr. Bittner with the Small Business Administration to support. Can you say kind of specifically, I know it's hard to ask a doctorate-level person to speak kind of on the ground, but what are the specific benefits to small businesses of St. Alaska should the Innovation Council bill be enacted in Alaska?
Actually, that's I think, painfully easy. There have been, I would say, a dozen major surveys of small business owners. If there was one consensus thing that came out of it was, listen to us. Hear what we want. Don't tell us what you think we need. And there are a lot of people with good intentions and maybe not so good who want to tell what small business owners and startup founders should do. And, you know, that... You know, a lot of that does fall on my academic colleagues. I'm not one of them. That the advantage of this bill is we're going to find out what's really, if you're going to, do you know what Google mapping is? You figure out where you are and where you're going, and then you plan the route. And then too often in economic development, the standard thing is let's plan the route, even though we don't really know where we are, and we really have no agreement on where we're going, but we will plan the route in excruciating detail. And this always makes economic development leaders laugh. But there's some truth is that finding out where we are and where we kind of like to go, and it doesn't matter, I mean, whether you're a high-growth tech firm or a one-person business in a rural village, there's a lot they're going to agree on if we listen, if we hear that. And no, I mean, this is not about all sorts of scientific research. That my stint says that actually I'm on my starting my fourth stint as a tech entrepreneur. If you aren't real, you know, you get your head up in the ivory tower, you will die. I'm here to champion, you know, entrepreneurs of every stripe in every situation that I can. Again, was that responsive to your question?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Krueger. Let's keep going through the public testimony. Next up in public testimony is Laura Odin. Ms.
Okay.
Odin.
Thank you for your time. Gentlemen and ladies, thank you so much for your time.
I think I might be on, but I...
Yes, we can hear
I
you.
I think I'm unmuted now.
Yep.
Okay, great. My name is Laura Odin, and I'm one of the founders of Pandeer Shoes. We're an Alaskan corporation. We make expandable footwear for people with medical conditions. And I have been involved in the startup community for at least 10 years, and at different times prior, I've owned multiple businesses. Pandeer is the business that I'm in now. And I have, you know, like I said, I've been involved in the startup community for a long time. I've mentored and counseled many Alaskan startups, And I mention this because I've really been in the trenches for the last 10 years. And the main thing that I'd like to communicate or share with you guys is the inconsistency of the plan and support for Alaska small businesses or startups in Alaska. It comes and goes. It's inconsistent. And what I really love about this plan, this council, is the idea that you've got a bunch of people who are stakeholders in Alaska that are going to get together and come up with a plan on how to put more intentionality toward this idea of startups and small businesses. I just feel like from being in the trenches for the last 10 years, it's, you know, there's a lot of feeling of being unmoored and, you know, whack-a-mole and where do you chase after the next thing. So I am very much in support of this, and I really hope it, and I think it's a wonderful idea, and Alaska businesses could really use some intentional planning and support on the state level. I just think it's been a huge gap.
Okay. Thanks, Ms. Oden. There are a couple of questions, Representative Colomb and then Sadler.
Thank you, Chair. Through the Chair, it's Laura Oden. Yeah. Thank you for calling in. You had mentioned that there's a lack of support for small businesses. Are you talking about that you want the state to have more financial support, more permitting support? What is it, the support that you feel small businesses need that they're not getting consistently?
I mean, to me, that's part of what the council would do, is figure out where that support needs to go. I mean, I personally have received support in various ways. Sometimes it's having the right person to talk to. Sometimes it's having the right person to network with. Sometimes it's, you know, financial. For me, one of the things I think is one of the biggest gaps is access to loans. I mean, let me tell you, getting loans is quite difficult. And, there's no small loans for early stage startups. You can get a $150,000 loan, but getting a $15,000 loan is just not going to happen. So I think that's what I like about the council, is to figure out where the gaps are. And again, intentionality in the right direction.
Thank you. Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Oden, I'm going to follow up briefly. I've got two question and a half. The question Representative Colomb asked about support. Again, when you say support, do you mean advice or do you mean money? And my second question is going to offer you the opportunity. What would the Innovation Council do that the private sector and current institutions do not do? And be as specific as you can, please. So first, support, and then what specific things this council would do.
Well, I don't think I know enough about what kinds of ways the council could come up with, you know, could use their influence or offer guidance. I mean, the things that entrepreneurs need are always going to be money and always going to be advice and always going to be people. So those are three buckets that all entrepreneurs. That doesn't mean, I don't know whether this state would be supporting entrepreneurs financially. I'm not sure. If that would happen, that would be a great thing. I guess I wonder if you get these people together in a room and they start coming up with good ideas that would be effective and implementable, or that they could influence to move toward more, a better plan for Alaska. I don't think I'm being as specific as you want, but I think that's because the right person knowing what the specifics would be. I could tell you what my business needs, but I don't think that's particularly necessarily helpful here.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ms. Oden, for being here. Are there any individuals in the room who wish to offer public testimony? Looks like no, so we will close public testimony. If members don't have further questions for Representative Holland, we will return to this bill at a date in the hopefully not too distant future. The second item on today's agenda is a first hearing on House Bill 20 by Representative Sadler, prohibiting fees for paper documents. And Representative Sadler and staff Noah Wilkins will be presenting the bill. Thank you for being here.
Very good. Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of Labor and Commerce Committee. For the record, this is Representative Dan Sadler, House District 24, Chugiak, Eagle River. I appreciate you hearing House Bill 20 today, prohibit fees for paper documents. The bill, through its short title, is fairly self-explanatory, but I'd like to introduce it briefly and then have my intern, Noah Wilkins, read the sectional analysis, and then we'll certainly be glad to answer any questions we can. Now, for as long as people of a certain age can remember, if you had a business account with a utility or a gas station or an insurance company or department store, you got regular monthly bills in the mail. And you paid these bills in the mail, usually with a check. As the internet has taken hold, people have started moving to online business and financial transactions. Your bank, your electric utility, your JCPenney's, they now let you pay your bill online. And certainly there are clear advantages to the companies. Automation is good. Efficiency is good. Decreased costs is good. And increased profit margins are good. But increasingly, businesses are taking this one step further by essentially saying customers must do business online or else they'll face a penalty in the form of an initial cost to do business on paper by mail. Now, the fees for this kind of service can range from $1 to $10 a month or per statement. And in fact, Mr. Chair, there is no limit currently. Inversely, companies may offer discounts as an incentive to go paperless, but that is still unfair because it imposes a net additional cost to customers who do not choose to go paperless. Just to give you an example, just to bring bones on the or meat in the bones, if a person has three or four utility bills, and most of us do, they have a gas card, a department store card or two, each of which charges, say, $5 a month. That cost can reach $30 a month and about $300 a year. And this is problematic for several reasons. First off, older Alaskans are much less likely to embrace online commerce, and so these fees hit them disproportionately hard. Older Alaskans are also much more likely to be on fixed incomes, and so again, these fees would hit them disproportionately hard. Further in Alaska, internet access it can range from non-existent to spotty to reliable. But even reliability is not assured. We've seen how breaks in internet communication infrastructure can leave Alaskans Wi-Fi-less and unfairly exposed to additional fees. Now, you know, quintillion fiber optic cables are great, but they're at risk of breaks from sea ice scouring, including one since we introduced the bill, as a matter of fact. So to wrap up, House Bill 20 would prohibit businesses from charging different rates for their customers based on whether they use paperless versus paper transaction statements. It imposes no cost to the state and no additional cost to businesses, but it does generate significant benefits to consumers and constituents, including some of our most vulnerable Alaskans. Thank you for your consideration and your attention. I'd like to ask Noah Wilkins to read the sectional analysis.
Go ahead, Mr. Wilkins.
Thank you, Chair Fields and members of the committee. For the record, this is Noah Wilkins, staff to Representative Sadler. This is the section analysis of House Bill 20, Version N. Section 1 starts at line 3 on page 1, amends insurance statute AS-2136 by adding a new section that prevents insurers from charging additional fees or different rates for customers who choose to receive paper invoices and statements. Rather than going paperless, this section does not prevent insurers from charging for duplicate copies of paper documents they have already provided. Section 2, starting at the bottom of page 1, amends Commerce Statute AS-4545 by adding a new section that lays out the same rules for businesses as insurers, preventing businesses from charging additional fees for receiving paper documents. Again, this will not prevent businesses from charging a fee for sending duplicate copies of the documents previously provided. Section 2 defines businesses by the meaning given in AS 4370110, which states a business is a for-profit or non-profit entity engaging or offering to engage in a trade, a service, a profession, or an activity with a goal of receiving financial benefit. In exchange for provisioning of services or goods or other property. Section 3 starts on page 2 and adds to the title 45, list of unlawful business acts and practices to include violations of AS 4545940, established in section 2 of of this bill. That concludes my sexual analysis.
Okay. Do members have questions for Representative Sadler or Mr. Wilkins or Lori Wing-Hire, the Division of Insurance Director, who is graciously here with us today?
I have a question.
Representative Carrot.
Thank you, through the chair, to Representative Sadler. Do we have any state departments right now that you're aware of that charge for receiving paper documents? And if so, is that something that you had thought about potentially covering in this legislation?
Through the chair, Representative Carrick, the bill is narrowly focused on businesses, as we got the definition of, you know, someone that provides goods and services for financial benefit. And I certainly would not think the state of Alaska falls in that. You know, we're not a commerce organization. But and there have been, from time to time, efforts to reduce the cost on the state of Alaska by printing and mailing out statements and so forth. This bill does not envision that, and that might be something for another bill. With a broader spectrum and possibly stronger savings for the state of Alaska. But no, this bill does not cover that, and I do not know what those costs would be for the state.
Okay.
Are there further questions for Representative Sadler? Look at that. No questions. Okay.
I could ask some.
Thank you for thank you, Representative Sadler, for being here. This is a bill written for me. So,
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much.
We have set amendment deadlines for the next three bills scheduled for our next hearing. The deadline for those bills is 10 a.m. on Monday, February 17th. Those bills are Senate Bill 15 by Senator Merrick. That's the same bill that we already passed as a House bill in this committee. House Bill 49 by Representative Hannon, which is taxes on vape products and age of tobacco consumption. And House Bill 74 by Representative Tomaszewski, which is a bill to combat counterfeit airbags. So, with that, we are through our business at 3:44 p.m. and House Labor and Commerce is adjourned.